life doesn't happen in neat little topical sections. It happens very organically, and the psalmists are always organic like that. Some of them are very much praise, but you can even see in their other feelings that they're expressing, and I love that because it gives me permission and it edifies me that the experiences that I'm having are not new and they're not unknown to God, and that as he delivered the psalmists through these things, he will deliver me through them too. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we're talking about the book of Psalms. This book is so often quoted in times of stress, loss, and trouble, but it offers hope, comfort, and confidence we can use in everyday life. It also offers caution we should heed so we don't have to learn the hard way. Don't forget that you can always listen to the entire series, download the reading plan and discussion guide, all on our website, studywithfriends.org. Just type Psalms in the search box to find all the resources related to this study. Let's get started. What are the examples of caution that you found most meaningful from the Psalms and why?
I picked on Psalm 62. And I dealt with patience. I wait patiently before God, for my victory comes from him. And I think if we are living our life in caution, or we're living our life according to the Lord, that we need to be still and allow God to do what he does. And so I picked that psalm, and patience was my word.
That was in Psalm 62. What were the verses?
One.
Just one?
Yeah. Okay. One and two. But if you take a look at, let's go there together. Psalms, let's just bring that up. So it's Psalm 62. And we're going to take a look at, I want to stay with the NIV, so we're all in the same. Okay. All right. Psalm 62. And let's take a look at Psalms 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. So I just read 1. 2 says, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. And if you think about how, even now with the threat of Florence and tornadoes and earthquakes, because I think Berks County just had an earthquake, we need to realize that truly that God is our rock, and we should never really be shaken, because regardless of what the elements does, God is still on the throne and he's still our Father. And so patience and just being still and waiting on God.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It says, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And what you pulled out of that is patience, because it a little bit reminds me of what I was saying a few minutes ago, that I will tend to try to solve my own problems. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. And just be patient and wait for him to do what he promised he'll do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who else has a cautionary psalm?
Psalm 90, starting in verse 3, just talking about God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I just felt that that was cautionary to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use your days and your time wisely because it passes so quickly. Yeah. And I trembled when I read verse 7, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Nothing's a secret from him.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what I do that I think, oh, nobody will find out, I'm sinning against the Lord, you know.
And he knows.
And he knows.
And he's cautioning you.
Yes.
What's going to happen? Your own demise.
Yes.
So that was verses, I believe you read 3 to 12.
That's correct.
So that's Psalm 90, verses 3 to 12. Strong words, and that's cautionary. God, you know, it's like, since I have teenagers, there's a lot of things I would like to keep them from having to learn the hard way. They're not interested. They want to learn their own lessons. And as God shows us, like, heed my warning, heed my caution. I have good for you. I have love for you. I have plans for you. You could potentially screw yourself up here. That's not what I want for you. I mean, I've said those things so many times in my house in just the last 6 months. Like, okay, so one of my teenagers is a senior in high school, so there's a little bit of like a panic to like get it all in there before she leaves, which I need to calm myself about that. I take ownership of panicking a little. Like, don't you understand how important it is to be on time? You got to be on time. You know, okay, you know what? I'm not even on time all the time. She'll figure it out. And she has, and I've shared many times on this program how wise my Gianna is. And she's like, Mom, you can't teach me everything before I go. Trust that you've taught me enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, out of Gianna. The mouths of babes.
I know. Thanks, Gianna.
Well.
She's right. Yeah. I'm like, well, could you show me that you're learning it? That would help me a lot. I actually shifted my gears the other day. I was like, you know what? I do believe that these things are in your heart and that they'll grow in time. But if you could just like throw me a bone and like show me here and there, it's in there. That would be so great. Like, yeah. Could you get up on time? Just because then I won't have to worry so much when you go to college and no one's there to wake you up. And she's like, I can. Okay.
That doesn't happen until later in life when she has her own kids and comes back and says, Mom, you were right.
Oh, I don't even need that. I mean, I'm sure that's very gratifying. But at this point in the journey, I just want her to be okay. And that's what I feel reflected from this psalm. I just want to know she's going to be okay. And I have an infinitesimally, a really small, small bit of wisdom compared to God's wisdom. And he's saying, he's cautioning us in the Psalms, and he's saying, don't go to the left or the right. Stay on the path that I've laid out for you. It's good. I love you. I made it for you. I know about it. I know what's going to happen if you go off the path. Just heed my warning because I love you. Not because I want to control you, because I love you and I want you to have all good things. That's how I feel about my kids. So to me, that really resounds, especially in this season, because I'm like, I do. Of course I trust that she's great. Both of my kids are great. I'm not saying they're not, because they are. I really recognize that I'm blessed with my kids. They are not a mess. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, then you tend to major on the minors. Like, yeah. And she said that to me, too. She's like, Mom, you are overreacting to small things. You got to take a look at the big picture, Mom. I'm a really good student. I go to church. I love Jesus. And she's like, it's, you know, stop nagging me about being on time. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's good perspective, too. But that's the, you know, I think, oh, people will, you know, look poorly on you if you're not on time. And I don't want that for you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that for you. Whatever. So meanwhile, I'm such a hypocrite because I am never on time. Do as I say, not as I do.
I got a good one for you. Proverbs 4:25-27. And I love the NLT. It says, Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil.
Okay, tell me the verse again. Proverbs.
Proverbs 4:25-27.
Okay, I'm putting that on an index card for both of us. I'll tape it to her mirror in the morning. Yeah, I know. And God and our counselor, our therapist, has reminded me many times, trust that you've done what I ask you to do, and it's really up to me and her to do the rest, Holly. It's not up to you anymore. She's going to be an adult in 2 months. She's going to be 18. And you just have to, like, let it go. But I want to find the heavenly balance, you know, that God strikes, which is, I shouldn't stop giving her these caution words. I just need to stop freaking out, thinking that she might not follow them. That's I think, the balance that I need to strike. Yeah. So that was a good one. And I'm circling that Proverbs because I totally am writing it down for all of us later. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else did you guys find examples of caution?
I have one here in 125, Psalm 125. And I have in my notes here, I don't remember why I wrote it, but it's there.
125?
125, that the first half of it is about confidence, and the second half is caution. They that trust in the Lord, now this is the King James, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, ever, forever, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Now here comes the caution. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel.
Mm. Yep, same pattern we see. Praise and caution, right. Or praise and confession. Asking for protection and then confessing,
right,
his own shortcomings.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what I mean about the journal nature of this. Like, it's very, I don't want to say rambling, but that's kind of the way it rambles about. Like, if we wanted to write this in a buttoned up way, we would say, here's how I feel when I praise. And that would be one psalm. And here's how I feel when I'm pleading. And that would be a different psalm. But we see that how he feels on any given day comes out.
He's writing the way he's talking.
He's feeling. Right. Yeah.
It's coming out, yeah, the way he.
And as he is experiencing it. Yeah. It's not. And isn't that true for us too? Life doesn't happen in neat little topical sections. It happens very organically.
Right.
And the psalmists are always organic like that. Some of them are very much praise, but you can even see in their other feelings that they're expressing. And I love that because it gives me permission and it edifies me that the experiences that I'm having are not new and they're not unknown to God. And that as he delivered the psalmists through these things, he will deliver me through them too. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, so here I have
Yes, please.
Okay,
please.
85 kind of reads like that, what you were just talking about, how, you know, it sounds like he's talking his way through something, and then he's saying, you know what, I got it.
Yeah.
I know what I'll do.
Yeah.
Now, 85, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all their wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. And then he goes on and says, I will listen to what the Lord says. He promises peace to his people. his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. And I'll just stop there.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And it's I can't imagine it's unedited, because it's not unedited, but it is very, it meanders through the emotions that he's experiencing. And that is comforting to me. You know what's interesting, I just thought of when and we've been circling around this, but isn't it true, this is not a criticism, but it's an observation. Isn't it true that in church, when we read a psalm, it's compartmentalized? Like the person who puts together the worship for that day takes a piece that suits that worship service, probably praise or maybe confession, but we take just a section. And actually, you're so much more edified when you read the whole psalm, because you see it's not siloed like that. That this is a real person with a real experience, and it's relatable. When you take a section of a psalm, or frankly, when you take a section of any part of scripture, but when especially a psalm, you lose that interwoven nature of it, how it is very experiential, and how, as we've seen again and again as we read through these, it doesn't just sit in one place. It, like this guy, I don't know who it's for, the I don't know who wrote this one. It doesn't say Jake, David. First, it's talking about, you know, the outward experience of what Israel is experiencing and God's people. And then you're right, he shifts gears. I personally will listen to what the Lord says. Yes, I think we lose the power of the Psalms when we section them out like that, which is why I really think this reading guide is a blessing, because it gives you a piece of a few psalms to read, gives you something to reflect on, like blessing or doubt or identity or mercy or nature. And then you can read the whole reflection on that, not just a piece like, oh, I mean, who doesn't know, be still and know that I am God. Okay, I didn't know the exact address, but everybody knows that verse, right? Mm-hmm. That's just one little piece. How about we look at the whole thing? What was that psalmist experiencing? Why is peace important right then? And yeah, so I think as we read the whole psalm, we really get so much more blessing towards our own relationship with God, and how organic it really is. Absolutely. And how that's true for all his children. Did you share one yet? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we all have shared a caution, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will share. You know what? I might as well go to 139 again, because if we're only doing one.
Surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I told you it was happening, so. I love it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even sorry. Okay, that's so good. There's two of them. The first caution that I feel, I tell you the story again. Okay, so you have searched me. This is Psalm 139, 1 through 4 is what I'm reading first. You have searched me, and, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And so I would say that for me, this is a caution and a comfort. First, because I said earlier, my tongue can sometimes get away from me. And so verse 4, which says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. I can remember when I first was praying about this ministry, and honestly didn't really feel like I mean, so many things. Didn't feel capable, didn't feel worthy to do what I knew he was calling me to do. And I found this cautionary, because I know God knows the intent behind my words, and it's not always right, and it's not always good, and I mess up. And so I felt really convicted by that I shouldn't move forward to teach if it's full of pride, or whatever, that I should only move forward and use my words on God's behalf if they are known by him and approved by him, my words. So that was a caution to me. And then as I prayed through the journey, it was also a comfort to me because I thought, oh, he knows that I'm a mess. He's not surprised that I'm a mess, and he's calling me to do this anyway. And so he'll work with it. He'll work with it because I won't always get it right. And he knows it before it comes out of my mouth. He knows what I'm going to say and the heart behind it and the ears that hear it. And he's on that, and I can be comforted by that. Mm-hmm. So this is another place where I was at a crossroads in my life. I went to Psalm 139, and God spoke directly to me. And then the other caution, of course, in Psalm 139 is verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a much more obvious example of a caution to not hold things in your heart and withhold them from the Lord, but instead to offer them to him and say, search me, help me search myself, really, and teach me how to do better. And so, of course, that's, I would want to hit that note too. But I also had Psalm 7, verses 3 through 5, I said we should all take one, and then I hogged and did two. But it talks about David's, first, as we've noted, he starts with deliver me from, you know, be my refuge, but then he moves into if there is wrong in my hands. And so even though these are confessions, you know, like this is a humbling, both in Psalm 139 and in Psalm 7, it is the individual saying, show me how I have offended you. I want to fix that. It's also cautionary to us because withholding that sin is like a cancer. If you have sin against the Lord and you're trying to have a relationship with him, that can't work. You have to say, so these caution us to give that to the Lord. Give him not just our good, but also our bad, and say, God, I just need you to help me fix this. And so David's doing that again here in Psalm 7, verses 3 through 5. He says, Lord, my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemies pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. And he submits. Of course, we appreciate that about David. He submits to his God and he submits to the consequences. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, freely you have received, freely give. We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print, studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. Let me say that again. No amount is too small. This month, we're hoping to gather 10 new monthly donors. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.